Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
Normally, when you go on a tour, if there's an empty bottle that ends up on the beach at the end of it, it's because you're on a winery tour, maybe. But over in WA, Ashley McClintock, he was leading a quad bike tour. This is at Wago Station near Kalbarri, and they were walking along the group, and Ashley spotted something in the sand. Like something was, the sun was reflecting off something, and when he reached down to pick it up, it was a bottle.
Oh, I was about to say it's WA. It was probably someone's car because of the tide.
No, it was definitely a bottle in this instance. And when Ashley had a closer look, he noticed there was something inside. I'll let him explain the rest.
Found a message in the bottle down the beach on the tour. One side, as far as we know, it says, if this is found 4 years or more after it is sent, reward will be offered, but please contact I. Cassidy. Then on the other side, it has 3rd of the 4th, 79.
1979 was when this mysterious I. Cassidy, I'm imagining maybe related to I. Carly, I'm not sure, but that's when the message got sent. So what's that, like 43, 42 years ago?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
I tell you what, every time I watch movies, it's always someone in trouble that's sending a message in a bottle. But I just think luckily in real life that someone isn't in trouble when you see a message in a bottle. It's usually just for someone doing an experiment for something.
Yeah.
I'd hate to think if it was something really serious and there's a message in the bottle.
Yeah, you wouldn't think if it's an important message that you'd be just throwing them randomly into the ocean. But, you know, this was back before social media.
Yeah, this is...
So,
yeah.
You know, potentially, like if Donald Trump didn't have Twitter and he was the president back in the 1970s, he might have just been hurling random bottles in the ocean, just stuff written on pieces of paper in all capitals with multiple exclamation marks, like fake news, just hurling it out there. And you're right, because you shouldn't put important information in a bottle, because when Ashley was reading this message, this is what he found written on one part of it.
And then maybe PS, remember, and then something.
Then something.
P.S. Remember, this is vitally important. Nothing. Just nothing there. A lot of the message had faded. Obviously, some of the water had got inside and erased some parts of the writing.
It wasn't airtight. So
it's like, P.S. You won't believe this, but blank. Ashley's trying to track down this iCarly. It did have parts of an address on the message, which is pretty good. And as you heard at the start, it does have a mention of a reward. And Ashley was like, hello, what is this iCarly offering as a reward?
It says there will be a reward offered for up to 4 years. It's found less than 4 years. That's 50 cents a year. So it's a pretty big reward.
Not really.
Big, that's huge. Maybe back in, does it go up now because it's past 4 years? Is there like inflation or is that not taken into effect?
I don't think that would be taken into effect. And like, to be honest, if you're looking at a message that's been in a bottle for what, like close to 50 years or something like that, the only reward you're getting made is down at the return and earn, I think. 10 cents is your reward, Ashley.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy, weekdays from 6.
When the pandemic was at its peak, I'd say probably about April, May, probably last year, that's when people were getting especially crazy. This is when all of a sudden people decided to start buying up toilet paper, and then there was no toilet paper. Then people were like, okay, what else can I use to, you know, finish off the business and flush down the toilet? So much so, some councils were saying, look, we need to start promoting these public messages. We shouldn't have to, but what stuff is acceptable and what stuff isn't acceptable to flush down the toilet?
Yeah. I can only imagine the guys that go out and test the sewage for COVID-19 would find all sorts of random stuff that's been flushed down while they're doing that testing.
Yeah. I don't flush random stuff down our toilet, but I felt bad for the plumber to turn up the other day just to do a bit of work on our toilet. I'm like, that poor guy. Like, imagine that. Just having to go through some
toilet,
of that stuff.
Hutsy.
Yeah, well, it's mostly fairly clean. But, hey, look, people were reporting back then that, you know, some of the stuff that was getting flushed was, you know, wet wipes, which is definitely not something you should be washing.
Nope.
Sanitary products, that's definitely been a no-no from since before the pandemic. Mm-hmm. They even found cooking oils as well. So I'm like, what are you doing in there? Like, what's happening in there that you feel the need, like you need to be flushing some cooking oil? Like,
yeah,
I
can understand that. Sometimes people might be in the kitchen and there might be some sort of weird leftovers and they're going, well, what do I do with this? I can't put it in a bin. It's too sloppy. Can't put it in the garden.
Yeah.
I'll just put it in the toilet. Because when you think about it, all food eventually ends up in the toilet. Most of the time, it just passes through your digestive system. before it does.
So these people are just like, I'll just cut out the middleman and sort of do it this way, I guess. But yeah, Sydney Water in particular, like mostly in the city, that's where they had the majority of the problems. That's where it was that bad, that some people in the city were actually travelling to parts of the country to try and get toilet paper and load up.
Yeah.
We saw stories of that going on as well. And some of these
toilet paper tours.
Yeah, exactly right. Some of these people actually have detailed about some of the stuff that's been flushed as well. So apart from the sanitary products and the wet wipes, I'm talking about some really crazy stuff like false teeth. yep. False teeth.
I can imagine how that happened too.
Okay, yep. Because one of the other things that people have been fishing out as well or finding flushed is mobile phones. So I'm guessing maybe you've dropped your mobile phone, you're bending over trying to get out your false teeth.
The phone went in and then they went, oh, and as they've exclaimed, oh, my phone, the teeth have gone straight in after
it. And let's be honest.
There's not enough Listerine in the world to fight the germs that'll be on your teeth after that.
You salute and you sort of say, okay, that's enough. That's going to definitely have to go. Golf balls as well.
Oh, really?
I don't know what's going
on there.
Someone's
practicing their chip like with the sandwich?
Towels, glasses, underwear. Underwear. It's like, okay, that must be particularly bad if the toilet paper wasn't enough to sort of get yourself out of that situation.
You like the nappy sand. These are too far gone for nappy sand. I'm flushing them.
But probably the strangest thing as well that's on this list of stuff that's been flushed. Obviously, when you look at the list, you go, okay, the glasses and the phone. So maybe you're reading a book, your glasses fell in, fair enough. We mentioned the teeth and the phone possibly. But one of the strange things that's on this list is parts of a mattress.
What?
How do you flush parts of a mattress down the toilet? I'm like, this is ridiculous. Like, I know there's that old motto, you know, if it's brown, flush it down. If it's yellow, let it mellow. But this must have been a pretty dirty mattress. That's all I can say. Flush it down the toilet.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy. Weekdays from 6.
Yesterday, they announced the nominees for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. A few familiar names in there.
Yeah, the class of 2021. I'm talking about artists such as, you know, the Foo Fighters.
Great live band.
Fantastic. I actually saw an interview with Dave Grohl a little while back on the Howard Stern show where basically he said he didn't know if he was actually going to continue with music after Nirvana, sort of after Kurt Cobain committed suicide, and he just thought that was going to be the it for music, and then all of a sudden Foo Fighters came up and
hasn't looked
back ever since. Mm. So that's one of the bands that have been inducted. Also Jay-Z as well. Still no idea what he's saying. Something about schnitzel and pretzels, not sure.
Yeah, who else has been made? Who's made the list?
Mary J. Blige.
Okay.
Iron Maiden, Tina Turner.
Mate.
Yeah.
It's a very eclectic mix.
It is very much. For the older generation, you've got, you know, bands like the Go-Go's, Devo, Chaka Khan, Carole King.
Sure.
LL Cool J, Kate Bush, Rage Against the Machine.
Okay.
I'm sure you'll be able to appreciate that one. And Dionne Warwick as well.
Right, okay.
They're the ones I've heard of. The other ones, some of them I'm like, the New York Dolls, no idea. Todd Rundgren, don't know who that is. Maybe I should, not sure.
Mm. Yeah, when they made the announcement yesterday, we were talking about, like, you know, some of the bands, and I have seen a couple of them live, like seen the Fooey's. They're great when it comes to a live concert. Iron Maiden always puts on a good show. They always have these massive sets and obviously pyrotechnics, as you'd expect, but maybe miss live music.
Yeah.
You know, I know it's slowly creeping back, and there are some local live acts. There's going to be, like, live music at the Rotary Markets on Sunday in Pambula, but, you know, those big concerts, I can't remember the last time I went to one.
Yeah, it's been a little while. For me, I was actually thinking about it just yesterday. We were having a quick little powwow about it. For me, the last live performance I saw, or concert, was Under the Southern Stars at Nowra.
Oh, okay.
This was like, I think it was January 2019.
Didn't you go to the Red Hot Summer Tour, though, up in the Bay? When was that? I think you went to that one.
No, I think that was the year
before.
I've only been to one. It was like the year before. This was the one when the Angels and the Screaming Jets were headlining. It was the year before.
Yeah, right.
Because that one ended up going ahead, but barely going ahead because of the whole bushfire situation. It was one of the ones where it sort of still happened, but a lot of people sort of pulled out because of the situation.
When it comes to, like, the best live performance I've ever seen, though, like, I have to say, even if you're not a fan of this type of music, once in your life, you have to go and see Rammstein, okay? They're this German sort of hard rock metal band, but they just have so much fire.
I've heard stories.
It is crazy. It's like if Cirque du Soleil met a metal band or something and just had a baby. That's what. There's fire, there's giant angel wings, there's stuff shooting all over the crowd. It is the most crazy live experience you'll have.
The amount of people at Beeger High School in the early 2000s that took up German and wanted to learn German just because they wanted to work out what they were
the
saying. But it's funny you mentioned Rammstein, because actually when I went to Big Day Out in like 2009 or something, it was, I think Tool was headlining, which was fantastic, but it came to a situation like a crossroads for me. It was like, okay, what times? What do I want to see at what times on stages? Okay, Sia on one stage, Rammstein on the other.
Oh, really?
I picked Sia.
You went and saw Sia?
I did. It was fantastic.
I reckon Sia put on a good show, though.
It was unbelievable. It's just that she started sort of really, you know, breaking out as well. I actually heard her music by mistake. Like, I won a CD in something, and it was Sia's Some People Have Got Real Problems. It was one of her first CDs. I'm like, I have no idea what this is. I listened to it, and I was like, whoa.
All right.
Like, everyone, have you heard this? Like... like I was the one who discovered her or something. You're all missing out.
I'm a ground floor Sia fan. 1-300-92-1250. We're curious about you. The best live act you've ever seen. Live music. Justin from Tura Beach, thanks for calling, mate. What was the best live act you think you've seen?
Mate, I went to see Alice in Chains at the Horden Pavilion in about early 1990s when I was about 19 years old, mate.
So this is Lane Staley days before we lost him.
Yeah, it was sensational. Wow. That's right. I had no idea who they were at the time. They'd only sort of just sprung into Australia, and a mate had a record. We were living up on the Central Coast, and we went and saw them, and it was just amazing, mate. That Horden Pavilion's a great place to see a band, and, you know, Lane Staley, what can you say?
Yeah, we were just chatting off air yesterday about basically the last time we went and saw live music, because it's just been like that kind of a thing with coronavirus and everything else, bushfires. Yeah, what was the last band you saw? Can you remember?
Oh, I saw Tool. Just before they shut everything down.
Oh, wow.
Tool in Sydney, man. They were amazing.
Yeah, lucky
they always put on a good show.
I saw them live at Big Day Out a few years back, and it was absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's a body experience, that one. It's like amazing.
Yeah, mate. Well,
some of their fans are to be an out-of-body experience because of some of the things they might be taking. But, yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like you're seeing some absolute classics, mate.
Yeah,
hopefully.
I got tickets to Gunners later this year. So,
oh, wow, okay.
Hopefully
yeah,
we get
jealous.
Our shots and we can go and see them.
Yeah. You got any room for a plus one? Or
Maybe.
Well, mate, thanks for calling up, dude, and sharing some great memories.
See you guys. Have a great day.
You too. 1-300-92-1250. You're talking about the best live band you've ever seen. Steve, also in Chura. What was the one you reckon takes the top?
Probably when Kiss reunited in their original makeup and the original members.
Yeah, that was huge.
That was pretty awesome. Being a fan when I was a little kid and never thinking I was able to see the four original back in their makeup. And probably Pantera in the early 90s.
Oh, yeah.
I remember them.
In Sydney, you know, they were phenomenal.
Before we lost Dimebag?
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, and Vinnie Neil. Yeah, Paul McCartney was a surprise act, like to hear Beatles songs being played live. That was pretty cool.
Wow.
And one I was never a big fan of before I went, my wife was Fleetwood Mac.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
What a phenomenal... It was about 3 years ago, all the original members. Yeah, they were phenomenal. I used to have a motto, bands to see before I die, but now it's bands to see before they die. So.
That's true. What about John Farnham? You seen Johnny Farnham in concert?
Nope, wouldn't stoop that low.
Fair enough. Thanks for the call, Steve.
My partner Rachel has just messaged in. She's chimed in saying Pete Murray.
Oh, right, okay.
And then even furthermore, it was the first concert we ever went to together, and she said, I thought Pete Murray was your favourite. It's like, you know, even back then I learned to say early in the relationship, yes, dear. It's not the head.
Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.